So we're going to talk about the 2015 student uprisings against racism. And it's going to be annoying. Really annoying. And I've also got a sore throat, so I apologise for that in advance. So what I would recommend doing is pausing the video, getting a drink and a snack, and possibly something you can punch without breaking it, and we'll begin. So we're going to begin with trolls at the University of Missouri using social media platform Yik Yak to wind up the students. Take this conversation. Post all the race jokes you want, but when you threaten someone's life, you've gone too far. To which the troll has replied, "Fantastic, hashtag death to monkeys." University of Missouri alert went out. Here's a screenshot. Oh yeah, alert, alert. Someone is trolling me on the internet. But the thing is, if you're an early 20s college student of colour who has been deeply indoctrinated into your social justice cult, and you live entirely within an echo chamber, considering any kind of dissent or trolling at your expense to be racism, then this will cause you and your fellow social justice drones to flip the fuck out. You might be inclined to go on social media and post stuff like, "If you're black and on campus, go home. There is a racist meeting in speaker circle. They are threatening us, saying don't come tomorrow. The cops are holding this white guy back. He is in speaker circle screaming me. Jayla and Obini had to run to the car. There is a blue truck with white guys and there is no license plate on the truck. They are circling around us." Or, "There are white students at Mizzou right now, riding around in pickup trucks, terrorizing black people. There are groups of white students standing in circles chanting white power. Black students are evacuating campus in 2015 because threats and violence towards black bodies online." It just goes to show, go to school and get your education doesn't change our being black, being oppressed, being discriminated and terrorized. Respectability be damned. This is what is happening at the University of Missouri right now. White students have been reported gathering on campus chanting white power. White students in pickup trucks are driving around harassing black students. It's rednecks. There have been numerous threats on social media. We even have a picture of a thug who assaulted three black students. 30-year-old St. Louis area neo-Nazi leader Samuel Hyde. Oh, look at him. He's pictured with a gun. What a dangerous, dangerous man. But of all of these things that never happened, this never happened the most. We literally walked past a racist cult in Speaker's Circle. Did you? Did you really, Haley? I mean, you don't feel safe at Mizzou anymore, you're ready to go. Kind of sounds a little bit entitled, doesn't it? So when I look at the rest of your Twitter timeline and it says, "I'm literally so spoiled that it's ridiculous, but I'm forever grateful and humble." And relatives already asking, "So what happened at Mizzou?" I can't help but think that you are a spoiled little rich kid who is desperately trying to get daddy's attention by making things up. Especially when fellow student protesters post something like, "Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry about the misinformation I've shared through social media. In a state of alarm, I was concerned for all students of the University of Missouri and wanted to ensure that everyone was safe. I received and shared information from multiple incorrect sources, which I deeply regret." But what about the neo-Nazi leader, Samuel Hyde, the thug who assaulted three black students? Well, it turns out that he wasn't a neo-Nazi, and he's actually an activist at Yale. And the threats on social media were obviously complete bullshit as well. Because it turns out that people who are actually going to shoot up a school don't threaten to do it on social media. I mean, it's almost like it's actually incredibly counterproductive to warn people you are going to go on a killing spree before you go on a killing spree. So the question is, was anything about this bullshit at the University of Missouri true? And the answer is yes. One thing about this event is true. The poop swastika. And here it is in all its glory. Tremble before it. This is confirmation that at the University of Missouri, racism is alive and well. The poop swastika was doubtless the cause of much oppression to black students at the Missouri campus before it was cleaned up. The poop swastika was originally called vandalism, but when it was realised that there was no damage done to the bathroom, the swastika was downgraded to tampering. But to make sure they didn't waste a good opportunity, university officials classified the situation as a hate crime as well. Because if there's one way to get the concept of a hate crime taken seriously, it's to make sure that it encompasses when someone draws a swastika out of human feces on a bathroom wall. Okay, there's just no way of making that sound anything other than stupid and juvenile, and it's really hard to believe anyone would give a fuck about this. Well, it turns out the answer is humanities students and ex-students of the University of Missouri, one of whom, called Jonathan Butler, went on a hunger strike until the president, Tim Wolf, resigned. Butler and other protesters confronted Wolf at the university's homecoming parade, where Tim Wolf, the white racist oppressor, decided to run into him with his car. At least that's the narrative that the progressive press would have you believe. Unfortunately for them, someone was videotaping it.
What happened was a number of these protesters from a group called Concerned Student 1950 blocked the road. You saw that red convertible there. That's the car that's holding in the homecoming parade the president, Tim Wolf. And this action was significant because there was a claim made, and it's right in the demands. Demand number one, when they got President Wolf to resign, was that he apologized for his driver hitting one of the students. It's a real serious accusation. And that accusation was made by this man, Jonathan Butler. And he made a big deal of the fact that he was hit. In fact, he tweeted a couple of times. He said, it's been 4 days, they haven't apologized. He brought it up. He said, it's okay that a tuition-paying student gets hit. But let's take a look at this and see if Jonathan Butler is telling the truth. Let's see if Jonathan Butler is being honest about the fact that he was hit by a car. Serious allegation, part of what led to the resignation of Wolf. I urge you to watch the whole video yourself, but the action starts about 5 minutes into the video. You see how the protesters are blocking the red convertible President Wolf is in? And they're trying to figure out what to do because the car is a distance away from them. And so you can see the protesters moving in towards the car. You can see here they've locked arms, are moving in backwards towards the car. And the car is not advancing on them. Now what happens is, if you watch this part, the car actually backs away from them. Take a look here. You can see the car is moving away from them. It's moving in the distance away from them, and they don't know what to do about it. They're still locking arms and a little confused. And then here comes the pivotal moment here. Watch this. That right there is Jonathan Butler. Did you see that? That's Jonathan Butler running up to the car. And you can see he's pretty clear here. He's the bald guy in the glasses being blocked by the white guy. Here it is again in slow motion. Watch. He runs right up to the car.
The link to that full analysis is in the description with all of the other resources I've used in this video. But as you can see, this is completely cut and dried. There is simply no other way of interpreting this other than Jonathan Butler deliberately standing in the way of the car and then lying about his own actions in order to attempt to hold Tim Wolf accountable. Which they eventually did, with Wolf finally responding with an apology, saying, I regret my reaction at the MU homecoming parade when the Concerned Student 1950 group approached my car. I am sorry, and my apology is long overdue. My behavior seemed like I did not care. That was not my intention. I was caught off guard in that moment, and Wolf subsequently said that stepping down was the right thing to do. For some reason. Even though the only thing that has happened is a poo swastika. A poo swastika and a bunch of black student activists who repeatedly lie. But of course, Tim Wolf was a white man, which means that he's probably racist, and he is, of course, oppressing the students. The poor students. The poor, oppressed black students who just can't catch a break. There's nothing that can be done. It doesn't matter that Jonathan's dad is a multimillionaire. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he is the son of a top railroad executive worth $20 million, who made $8.5 million last year. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. his skin is way more important than his filthy rich father. Well, what a surprise. Yet another one of these student activists is a wealthy, privileged kid who clearly has so few issues in his life, he has to make them up. So what is the deal with these peaceful protests, and what is Concerned Student 1950? They are apparently an activist group that has led the fight to end racial hostility in the University of Missouri. Apparently, the situation would not have escalated to this point or garnered national attention, hell, international attention, without the protests organized by Concerned Student 1950, the activist group that had been peacefully demonstrating since Missouri Students Association president Peyton Head, who is black, obviously, was called a racial slur by a group passing by in a pickup truck in September. Remember Peyton Head from earlier in the video, who apologized for lying to people about what had happened. Because none of this is true. Peyton Head is a liar, and these protests have been fired up by a student activist group that has nothing real to complain about. And apparently after that incident, the Legion of Black Collegians, a student government organization at the university, why you would have such a quite obviously racist organization is beyond me, was apparently rehearsing for the homecoming parade when an apparently drunk white student yelled racial slurs at them. There is no evidence for this, of course, and given the amount of lies these students have told in the quest for their moral high ground, I'm not inclined to believe them now, but this is being used as evidence of institutional oppression. Since Head posted on Facebook about his incident, the incident that didn't happen, protesters have organized Racism Lives Here rallies and peaceful demonstrations from Concerned Student 1950. During one of the latter, an organizer asked the crowd, "Do you know why we want to get Tim Wolf out of here?" The response, "Because marginalized students belong on this campus. Because marginalized students should not be marginalized." You know, despite the fact that they weren't being marginalized by Tim Wolf. And another chant the group has used comes from an Assata Shakur poem. "It is our duty to fight for our freedom. It is our duty to win. We must love and support each other. We have nothing to lose but our chains." Is this not the most batshit thing you've ever heard? Apart from "we have nothing to lose but our chains" is practically a quote from the Communist Manifesto, what on earth are they talking about? Fight for their freedom. They are obviously free. They are going to a posh university, and many of them have rich parents. What are they fucking complaining about? It doesn't even look like they know. "We want to get Tim Wolf out." Why? Because marginalized students belong on this campus. What does that mean? What's Tim Wolf supposed to say to that? Just like, "Well, I agree," which is what he said, incidentally. The group has called itself Concerned Student 1950 because that refers to the first year that the University of Missouri admitted a black student. I wonder how that student would feel about the sons of millionaires whining about their oppression on the university campus when everyone is doing everything they can for these people. So, okay, what has happened? Nothing, apparently. A bunch of false information has been propagated. One act of someone smearing poo on a wall, and the university president has resigned under this pressure. He didn't have to resign, he hadn't done anything wrong. But screw it. There are loads of black people saying that they are suffering from racism, and this white guy doesn't want to think for a second that he might be part of that, so he has stepped down. So what next? Surely that's what they wanted. I mean, that's literally what they were campaigning for. But remember, kids, when a social justice warrior asks you to jump and you say, "How high?" you can never jump high enough. After forcing the university president to resign, they've got new demands. Why not? They've just got exactly what they wanted. Why not just ask for more? So the new demands are an immediate meeting with the University of Michigan System Faculty Council, Board of Curators, and the governor of the state of Missouri to discuss shared governance and create a system of holistic inclusion for all constituents. And these demands must be met in totality. And this is also including previous demands that require long-term planning and execution that have not yet been met in full. Among them is a strategic 10-year plan that will work towards increasing retention rates for marginalized students, continue diversity training, and create more safe and inclusive campus climate. Maybe I am reading this wrong, but this seems to be an attempt by Concerned Student 1950 activists to take over their university and impose a social justice regime on it, and they want government backing with which to do it. There wasn't an awful lot of media coverage about the Concerned Student protests, and that's because, frankly, they didn't want the media there. In fact, they went out of their way to prevent the media from being there, which led to this viral video.
You need to back up.
I am a student.
These students are walking forward. This is the direction we are walking.
They'll talk to you.
Don't push me.
Yo.
I'm not pushing you.
Well, okay, well then we will just block you.
You need to step out of here now. You need to go.
Yep.
Students, can you tell him how
you don't have a right to take our photos?
If you would like to take photos, you need to please give them space. Do not, you cannot be this close to them. Please.
They're being close to me.
What I'm saying is, you need to move back.
This is the First Amendment that protects your right to stand here, protects mine.
You're not going to yell at her.
So just calm down.
Ma'am?
You're not
going to
do
it. Okay, ma'am.
She doesn't want you in front of her.
Ma'am, don't yell at me. Ma'am, the First Amendment protects your right to be here and mine.
Okay, we protect our space.
There's not a law around that.
Forget a law. How about humanity and respect?
Well, how about documenting this for posterity?
Please, sir. I am sorry. These are people too. You need to back off.
No, there's no law.
You know what? Back off about personal space. Back off. Leave these students alone.
Respect
the humans. Back off. You need to back off. Go.
Don't push me.
We don't want you to tell our story. Not if you're going to act like this. We're not going to get any help.
You need to back up. I know you better back up. Don't push me. Don't touch us.
We have an unethical report of Ron Lee.
Excuse me.
I need to get through. Are you not going to let me through?
She's in the way. I'm not in the way.
Don't push me, ma'am.
Don't push me.
Sir, what's your name?
Sir, can you please leave?
You're with the Office of Greek Life?
My name is 1950.
Ma'am, are you with the Office of Greek Life?
No, my name is Concerned Student of 1950.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you got to step back, bro.
Check it out. The meeting with somebody came from.
You don't have to stop. You're right. You're all on public property. I want to document it. You gotta go, bro.
What is it with the media doesn't support you?
Just chill out. Just a second.
They're serious because they can call the police on you.
No, they actually can't because the law protects both of us being here. Yes.
We're not doing anything wrong.
Protect our students on public spaces. I don't think
Did you just touch her? No, she touched me. You're the one jumped.
What is so hard about respecting our wish?
Because I have a job to do.
Yeah.
We don't care about your job.
They have a life to live. They have an education to get and a life to live.
I'm a student.
Please live. But sir, these are more students who are asking you.
You need to calm down.
Okay, but that's my job.
And this is our friend. Our friend's life was on the line. We're asking you to respect that.
And I'm trying to document that for history.
Everybody else has documented it, sir. You got it.
They're being respectful.
You got it.
Everybody else is too, but they're being respectful.
please. They're being respectful about it. Everybody else is too, but they're being respectful. You're not.
They just want to be together.
That's simple.
Okay, they are together.
No,
I'm not going you are in there right now.
No, you're not.
You are you're infringing on what they need right now, which is to be alone. All right.
Now, You lost this one, bro. Back up. You lost this one, bro. Back up.
Hey, where the signs at? Just put the sign in his face.
You lost this one, bro. Just back up. Just back up. You lost this fight. You lost this battle. Just back up.
Hey. It's over. Look, we got a perimeter. Get to the middle. They got a terrible shot to shoot. Get away from them. You got the wall. Get away from them.
Please get this man on Twitter and Facebook. You're an unethical reporter. You do not respect that space.
You stay out. The wall stays out. Get them away. That's what we're here for. Now, inside, get away. They got nothing to do now.
We good, bro. We good. We got to make this wall big. It's all good. I understand.
Especially for disrespectful people like him.
No, I didn't.
He said San Diego.
You're pushing me. I know, but they'll change the story on you. You're pushing me. You're walking forward. You're not doing your job.
It's our right to walk forward, isn't it? I believe it's my right to walk forward.
I'm Media. Can I talk to you?
No, you need to get out. Well, you need to get out.
No, I don't.
You need to get out.
I actually don't.
All right. Hey, who wants to help me get this reporter out of here? I need some muscle over here.
I apologize for subjecting you to the entire 6.5 minutes or so of that infuriating video, but I wanted you to see the entire context in which these students, as a group, as a gang, decided to act like children. Absolute petty children, which was encouraged by an assistant professor called Melissa Click, who ironically is an assistant professor of mass media at Mizzou's communications department, desperately trying to intimidate and eject journalists from covering her protest. Why, I have no idea. If there was legitimacy to the protest, would you not want it covered? I have no idea what Click thought she was doing, but thankfully, the Mizzou faculty were voting to get rid of her, because there is no excuse for this. Inciting a demonstration against the press of all people. A move that was supported by the students that she tried to bully away from the protest. But the question is, can Missouri afford to let Melissa Click go? Look at those research interests. Media audiences and fans, gender, race, class and sexuality in popular culture, television analysis and criticism, media literacy. That sounds important, doesn't it? Look at this important work she's done, Bitten by Twilight, Youth Culture, Media and the Vampire Franchise. Or this collaborative piece, relating to Twilight fans' responses to love and romance in the Vampire Franchise. Bitten by Twilight, Youth Culture, Media and the Vampire Franchise. I really don't know how Missouri's going to get by without her. Most of her career is built around studying Twilight. How does she even have a job? No wonder she's got so much fucking free time. Unsurprisingly, the Society of Professional Journalists Ethics Committee are not on board with assaulting, threatening journalists, or denying them their First Amendment rights. And I don't blame them. Why would they be? What the fuck kind of excuse could Melissa Click possibly have? With all the media pressure on her, Click finally issued an apology for her behaviour, and eventually was forced to resign. Finally, a faculty member from Missouri University who has actually done something wrong has actually resigned for their wrongdoing.
I need some muscle over here!
The MU professor who has gained national attention is now backtracking one day after this video went viral. In a statement released this afternoon, MU Communication Associate Professor Melissa Click said in part, quote, I regret the language and strategies I used and sincerely apologize to the MU campus community and journalists at large for my behavior and also for the way my actions have shifted attention away from the students' campaign for justice.
What the fuck? What a total fucking non-apology. I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry that I'm the story and not these students. I'm not sorry that I denied this student his individual rights. I'm not sorry about that at all. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. I just hope I don't get caught next time. That's what Melissa Click is saying. Let's hear from the student journalist whose rights she violated.
This is Mark Schierbecker. I'm the journalist who recorded the video at the University of Missouri Monday. I took down the video. I wanted to get the video out there so that people could see what's happening to journalists. My pro bono publicist now, Danielle Moscato, who is former public relations director for American Atheists, was awesome and allowed me to talk to her and she talked to the press for me and she arranged a lot of things, but most of what I had to say were my own words, my own feelings, until today. Today I was a speaker, last minute speaker at Skepticon. It's an atheist conference held every year in Springfield. I was asked to go on 2 days ago to represent my side of things. And my publicist worked through me with this, and then I feel made me say a few things that I don't agree with, and I can never condone. She made me Danielle had me say a lot of things that I didn't feel comfortable with, that such as that I acknowledge my own white privilege. She also wanted me to go on record if I was a racist. I was extremely uncomfortable with the entire aspect of it. I didn't speak up with it, though, because I was told this would be good for my career. But as I found out today, Danielle Moscato is right now writing a press release disassociating herself from me and is not going to work with me any further. I have no further ties with her from this point going forward. So these are my words and my own words only.
Again, sorry for the long clip, but I wanted you to see the whole thing in context. Just so we're all on the same page, this guy was forced to speak and answer questions at Skepticon, which is an Atheism Plus convention, as far as I can tell. And he was forced to say things he didn't agree with, because otherwise he was going to be called a racist, otherwise he was going to be called oppressive, and he was going to be castigated. He was going to have his career cut short by these people for doing journalism and exercising his own rights. You should see how they were talking to him at this conference.
I just have one comment.
Okay.
If the point is to uplift and validate the perspective and to honor the black students, particularly the black students at Mizzou, I find it highly problematic that the point of this is to uplift your narrative as a white male entering a black space and then having, I'm sorry, the audacity to file a lawsuit about assault as a white person. You were assaulted when black people are dying every day in the streets and we can't even get a police officer to be indicted, and you don't have the audacity to fight against another white woman. If you're going to uplift black people, uplift that and don't make this about yourself and what you want to do in this part. The point is to uplift black people. Do that.
I'm sure anyone who's been following my Liberal Ideas series is probably screaming internally after listening to that. But this was the sort of caliber of responses that Mark was getting at this Q&A. I'll probably do a full video on this at some point just to go through them individually, because they're amazing. He is at fault for standing up for his own rights. That's what their opinion is, because of black people. What I find most incredible and hypocritical about the concerned student protests is that the way professors who don't agree with their goals or methods are being treated, or even professors who are just simply not taking part, they're not necessarily against what's happening, they just have a job to do for the other students who aren't participating. Take this example of a Missouri professor who offers to resign after refusing to cancel an exam amid all the protests. This is literally the whole story. Dale Bingham refused to cancel an exam that was going on because his students needed to take that exam. He was then bullied out of his position by concerned student activists because, I have no idea, because I suppose they wanted deference from him. But you know what, they're such a brave gang of snowflakes. When you get enough of them together, they form a veritable blizzard. And no amount of bad weather is going to stop them. Oh, yes, it will. So around the United States, many other colleges and universities saw students walking out and protesting in solidarity with Missouri. For some reason. Over the poo swastika, presumably. Or more likely, the lies that were told and then disseminated on social media. These demonstrations spread to campuses all across the United States, and almost all of them had a list of demands that were collated on thedemands.org. Yes, you are reading that correctly. 60 different universities, with their students all making broadly the same demands. We demand more diversity, an end to racism, mandatory diversity training, often diversity initiatives or specific staff members who are tasked with enforcing diversity. You know, creating positions and demanding money for problems that only seem to be real in the minds of these students, that they have been caught lying about in order to try and hype up. I wasn't joking when I said that they wanted money. Students at Yale have released their demands, which include firing people they don't like and giving their favored programs a budget increase of at least $8 million a year. Students at Occidental College basically had a sleepover in the president and administrator's offices. Inspired by the protests at Missouri, a multiracial mix of fellow students took over an administrative building for a week, camping out on air mattresses and holding workshops on diversity, which I guess would be the equivalent of drum circles or prayer meetings. Sympathetic professors even held classes in the building. Where are the administrators? Well, they're gone. They completely cleared out. The students have given administrators a list of 14 demands to address what they say are systemic racial biases on campus. These include claims that the activists say their voices often aren't heard in classes. They feel isolated on campus, and apparently they're routinely profiled by security at night. Among their demands is a fully funded Black Studies program and an increase in tenured faculty of color, and the creation of a vice president for diversity. It's all totally normal, nothing kooky about it. It's not that they've created a problem, lied about the things that have happened, and are now demanding that their own people are being given money and jobs and status. It's nothing like that. It's all about honest protest because of actual things that they claim have happened but nobody can prove. And there was also apparently a million student march where, if you can believe it, students demanded even more than they had already asked for. A statement from the activists reads, "We are people of all colors, genders, and sexual orientations, and we are united to fight for education as a human right." Okay, no one's on the other side of that. Everyone thinks that education is a human right and everyone should be able to have access to it, which obviously you people have. Protesters are calling for tuition-free public college, cancellation of student debt, and a $15 minimum wage for college workers, plus a lot of other stuff about white male capitalist patriarchy. It's interesting how solidarity comes with a whole bunch of students expecting to get something out of it. But the thing is, you've got to understand, student activism is serious business. According to bad feminist Roxanne Gay anyway? Look, millionaire millennials pretending that there's something wrong and going out of their way actively to lie about there's something being wrong just so they can have their moment in the sun and feel like they're really making a difference is really serious. Don't you dare laugh this off. That's not funny. But the reason they wanted to deny the journalists their First Amendment rights is that they wanted to create a safe space not only from the racism they encounter on campus, but also from the insensitivity they encounter in the news media. Well, you might be thinking, well, that doesn't justify anything. Who cares if they want to create a safe space from insensitivity in the news media? That doesn't mean they have the right to do any of this. But you have to understand that social justice can be used to justify anything. Especially Orwellian doublethink, like this. Certainly Ty, the journalist in the clip, had a legal right to enter the space, given that it was a public area. Okay. But that shouldn't be the end of this story. Not what it is, though. We in the media have something important to learn from this unfortunate exchange. The protesters had a legitimate gripe. The black community distrusts the news media because it has failed to cover black pain fairly. Is this the rich black community or the poor black community? Just out of interest. I mean, you guys don't think you represent the ghetto or something, do you? But either way, it makes no difference. The story does end that they had no legal right to prevent him from entering this public area. So what they did is wrong, regardless of their reasons. Establishing a safe space was about much more than denying the media access. It was about securing a zone where the student's blackness could not be violated. Doesn't mean anything. How can I violate someone's blackness? That sounds kind of rapey. Yes, the hunger strike, the safe space, and other demonstrations were protests, and protests should be covered. But seriously, are you even listening to yourself? But what was fueling those protests was black pain. In most circumstances, when covering people who are in pain, journalists offer extra space and empathy. Except, these people weren't in any pain. I mean, most of the protesters that encountered Ty were white. But that didn't happen in this case, unsurprisingly. These young people weren't treated as hurting victims. That's because they can't prove that they're victims of anything. Instead, after the confrontation with Ty, you know, where the students were very, very aggressive and physically forced him off, aggrieved journalists responded with a ferocity usually reserved for powerful entities with the means to inflict lasting damage on their First Amendment rights. These students are such an entity, you fucking idiot. That's why everyone is complaining. That's why they were able to literally physically violate this guy's Ty's First Amendment rights. And yes, they will have lasting damage if they aren't brought to heel. They are trying to take over universities and eradicate the idea of First Amendment rights on these universities, and you are apologizing for this. Stop making excuses for them. Look at this. Smith College students say journalists must swear vow of loyalty to their cause. Quote, "We are asking that any journalists or press that cover our story participate and articulate their solidarity with black students and students of color. By taking a neutral stance, journalists and media are being complacent in our fight." That's saying that if you want to cover us, you must be biased in favor of us. This is how they think journalism should work. And the college administration are apparently just fine with it, even though it poses problems for the traditional media and the alternative media, and anyone who wanted to just cover it out of interest, I suppose. But they finally get to the logical conclusion of all of their own racism. Segregation. Missouri protesters now segregating their members by race. After the meeting that was cancelled due to inclement weather, the concerned student protesters met at the school's student center on Wednesday, and then the whites were simply asked to leave. So is it any wonder that dozens of white student unions are appearing on social media amid racism protests? Seriously, they're actually going to complain that white student unions are appearing when they are being excluded from what are, I guess, now black ones. And what really annoys me about this is that you idiots created this dichotomy. By instead of declaring yourselves simply to be students, you have declared yourselves to be students of color, not white students. You're not like the white students. In fact, the whites are oppressing you. And when eventually you drive white people out of your spaces, which you have done, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to look at what you've done, they're going to follow your lead and say, well, okay, we'll just create white spaces then, because that's how this now has to work. You have brought back this segregation. You are opening the door to racists by being racists. By demanding it, in fact. You are opening the door so people like Andrew Anglin of the Daily Stormer are being linked directly to by The Guardian. You are giving them an opportunity to amass influence by deliberately disenfranchising the sort of people he is trying to proselytize to. Would you cut it the fuck out? Segregation is a bad thing. I can't believe I have to say this. Although it may look like it's too late, there are people in universities who are fighting back. There are students who are writing their own op-eds saying we dissent. There are, of course, a minority of non-leftist professors on university campuses in America, but God knows how well their careers are going to fare when confronted with the mob. And there are even some big guns coming out, like Alan Dershowitz, ripping into tyrannical student protesters, saying that they want superficial diversity, and I completely agree. Even WikiLeaks has come out against trigger warnings and safe spaces, and the idea of microaggressions and similar terms as pro-censorship, because they are. They are about self-censorship. But it's nice to see so many people with at least the common goal of personal freedom and individual liberty to talk about this. But the thing is, the students weren't paying attention to that at all. They were doing what the rest of the world was doing, and paying attention to the November the 13th Paris attacks. And like everyone else, they were devastated that there'd been a terrorist attack in Paris. But unlike everyone else, they were devastated because they were annoyed it took the media attention away from them. They did actually equate their struggle on university with the terrible life of a female ISIS slave. With Ms. Magazine here saying, while ISIS endorses rape and commits it, American college administrations similarly facilitate the rape of women on campuses, as if this is in any way comparable. And the thing is, they started getting really shitty about it. Really, really shitty. And, of course, being first world millennials, what did they do? They took to Twitter and started a new hashtag. Hashtag fuck Paris. Honestly, just go on Twitter, search for this, and have a look if you want to see whiny, entitled, rich kids whinging that people aren't paying attention to them. Just over a tragedy as well, over someone else's tragedy. 130 people die, but these people don't feel like their voices are being heard on campuses. Why? Because hundreds of years ago, French people colonized Africa. Of course. Nothing to do with the French people alive now, obviously. None of them were alive. Their parents probably weren't even alive. But fuck it. Who cares? Fuck Paris. Aren't ISIS people of colour anyway? Shouldn't they be standing with them? So as annoying and selfish as these protesters are, at least it's not really going beyond the university. Right? I mean, okay, that's not a good thing. That's in fact awful, and this does seem to be the intellectual death of Western civilization. But at least it's confined to universities. Except it isn't. Just a few days before the events of Missouri, millennials had blocked traffic near the White House to demand social justice and no borders. A New York Times photographer noted that they were pro-Palestinian, anti-white privilege, Black Lives Matter activists. I'm not making this up. White people actually protested a black man for not caring enough about black people. This actually happened. This is the world we live in. But decolonize your mind. But the thing is, this is just a common theme with these students. They're actively against the old order in general. For example, Missouri student vice president. First Amendment creates a hostile and unsafe learning environment. The First Amendment is the American amendment to the Constitution that guarantees their freedom of speech. And this student thinks that creates an unsafe learning environment. Student activists at Yale went and disrupted a free speech panel because I guess they were freely speaking and they didn't like that. But either way, they went out of their way to silence these people. And I also found this article on the Harvard Crimson, Harvard University's internal magazine. The Doctrine of Academic Freedom. Let's give up on academic freedom in favor of justice. I'm not joking. I don't think this is a joke. I don't think this is a Poe. It might be, and if it is, brah fucking vo, because I was fooled. The article finishes with this short paragraph, and I really think that it's worth mulling this over. This is what an actual person in the West with access to a platform at a prestigious university thinks. It is tempting to decry frustrating restrictions on academic research as violations of academic freedom. Yet I would encourage student and worker organizations to instead use a framework of justice. After all, if we give up our obsessive reliance on the doctrine of academic freedom, we can consider more thoughtfully what is just. If you don't have cold chills going down your spine, you don't understand the implication of what they are saying here. Whoever wrote this is dangerous, and they don't even know it, and they think that what they are doing is the right thing to do. No justice can ever be won by restricting the rights of others, by ordering them to self-censor, by preventing avenues of research as if the truth can somehow be against justice. And this desire for censorship is not an uncommon opinion. 40% of millennials are okay with limiting speech offensive to minorities. Objectively offensive, obviously, according to a new Pew Research Center survey. 40% of millennials are in favor of censorship. They're against the idea of free speech. They're against your right to express yourself. Who has done this to these people? How can they be deprogrammed? They're people who are triggered. They are afraid of microaggressions. They can't stand the press filming them because, God forbid, anyone know what they're doing. They are absolutely against academic freedom. How dare you research the wrong thing? You might come to the wrong truth. These kids seem to have been emotionally and mentally abused. I would think these people are fucking handicapped. I don't think that they have proper control over their emotions like a normal adult. I don't think they understand anything that's outside of themselves. I think they are that selfish and entitled. And they are causing so much trouble. And of course, the police are more than happy to cooperate. Call us about harmful or hurtful speech. Why? It's not illegal. In America, anyway, it's not illegal. Nothing that has been said or done has been illegal. Why would you need to know about it? Why would you need to? Look at this. To continue to ensure that the University of Missouri campus remains safe, the MU Police Department is asking individuals who witness incidents of hateful and or hurtful speech or actions to call the police, give the communications operator a summary of the incident, including location, provide a detailed description of the individuals involved, provide a license plate and vehicle description, and take a photo, if possible. Why? Nothing has been done that's a crime. People have been disagreed with, feelings have been hurt, and offensive things have been said. But none of this is illegal. There is no need to report any of this to the police. And yet, the millennials are crying out for authoritarian structures to rule over them. That's merely what the police are responding to. The thing is, all of this talk of Nazis and fascists and white supremacists and the KKK, it's all old hat. It's last century. This is not how the future is going to be. There is going to be tyranny in the future, don't get me wrong. Without a doubt. There's absolutely going to be tyranny. There are too many forces arguing against your freedoms for there not to be. But the tyranny of the future isn't going to come in jackboots, and it's not going to be led by a great dictator. Instead, it's going to come in the form of conformity to the group, and it's going to use your own good intentions against you. It will be via guilt that you are silenced, and your oppression will be enforced in a well-lit public space to mass public consensus, where you, the person being wronged, will be told that, in fact, you are committing the wrong. It will be born out of self-righteousness, perpetuated by a constant desire to virtue signal to like-minded social activists to let others know that they are part of the collective and are free from wrongthink. There is no amount of government tyranny that cannot be borne if it is for the good of the followers of social justice. It doesn't matter if every move is recorded, every word is heard, every message is read. These people are demanding the totalitarian government to protect them, which is all a totalitarian government has ever promised its citizens. Not one word of sedition will come from their mouths. They have nothing to fear, and therefore they have nothing to hide. These people herald the end of individual freedom, and they think that that is a good thing. So to commemorate this milestone along the road towards the death of Western civilization, I'm proud to say that I have commissioned a piece of artwork from the one and only internet famous Ben Zyklon Ben Garrison. If you know anything about him, then congratulations. If you don't, then please just enjoy useful idiots. Frankly, I think this picture perfectly encapsulates the danger of social justice. They don't even know what they're doing. But, as the title goes, they are useful idiots. There's a link in the description to a large version of this that you can enjoy and feel free to share it around. It's out there, it's free, it's for you guys. So, enjoy.